trying to prove something, to somebody else, because ultimately that's sometimes why people care. Like, you want to prove that you could do it. And you can, but maybe not today, maybe not this week. Like, you're always going to be setting yourself up for that goal. You just have to give yourself some time and some grace.
This is the Girl Behind the Hustle podcast, and I'm your host, Lucretia Thomas. On this podcast, we encourage, celebrate, and share stories from female founders that push you to stop playing it safe, build that business, and keep going. So if you're ready, let's hear the truth from the women behind the hustle. Hey, girlfriends, this is Lucretia. Thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode of the podcast. You guys, so some things have changed since we last spoke. And since this podcast and platform is all about celebrating, highlighting, and encouraging women, I just want to take a moment to highlight and celebrate our new Madam Vice President, Kamala Harris. Right? So I look to the left and I speak with my great grandmother, who's 91 years old, about what does this mean to you? And she tells me that in all of her years, she never expected or never thought that what Dr. Martin Luther King spoke about would actually come to pass. And I look to the right at my 10-year-old daughter, who all she's ever known is Black Girl Magic. And so I'm like, aren't you more excited? And she was excited when we watched the inauguration together. But I don't know. All she's ever known is women gets things done, Black Girl Magic. And so she more so expects it to be. She expects to see women in positions of power. And so I'm in the middle, right? And I just feel joy in this moment. So I want to take a moment just to acknowledge and celebrate that with you. So on this week's episode of the podcast, we're sitting down with the incredible illustrator, educator, and author of In Bloom, Reina Noriega. Reina's vibrant artwork has been seen everywhere from the Creative Collection NYC, Clinique, American Express, Allure, The Knot, Hulu, Girls Who Code, and Apple. Reina's work is dedicated to highlighting, uplifting, and helping women heal and find happiness. She uses her artwork to illustrate and represent women of color in ways that we don't always get to see. Reina says, "I choose to celebrate all of the most beautiful things about being a woman of color." In this episode, we're going to sit down and chat about what it means to give yourself permission to bloom and take the risk of pursuing your own gifts after pouring so much into everyone else. How Reina used social media to build a community and connection around her art, and the resilience that it's taken to continue working and creating during a pandemic. Let's get into the episode. Hey, Reina, welcome to the show. So excited to chat with you today. How are you?
I'm good. And yourself?
I'm well. So tell the listeners a little bit about who you are and what's your hustle.
So my name is Reina. I'm from Miami, Florida. My hustles are art. I'm a visual artist, illustrator. I'm an author and an educator.
And you're like who I like to call a serial creator. I know you're an illustrator, an artist, an author. How are you doing all the things?
Well, I always had trouble picking because they all fill me up in different ways. So over time, I just kind of learned how to find a balance and like how to move between what I focused on as, if I lost inspiration for one thing or, just kind of like as a way to keep me feeling replenished and just like learning new things and on my toes made it, more exciting.
And your father was an artist. Did that influence you going into the creative field, or were your parents supportive of you going into the creative field?
Absolutely. I think it made me kind of lucky. I know a lot of people struggle with their parents either like not supporting it or not believing in it. But both of my parents had dabbled in freelancing over their, the course of their own careers. So they were super supportive of my journey in that way.
And you speak about growing up and how you now realize that growing up with joy and stability was a privilege, and just kind of having that joy allowed you to pour into your art, as well as allowing others to kind of feel that joy and happiness in their own journey. How do you think that your art does that?
Well, I think that it focuses on those themes of just like confidence, joy, like all of the things that I navigate through. Like I said, I had the privilege of joy, but there were other things that I had to kind of find for myself that could make my experience just that much more like peaceful and centered and just happy. I incorporate those things into my work, you know, plants. Caring for plants has brought me a lot of peace, a lot of joy. So you'll see a lot of that in my work. Travel, same thing. So you'll see, you know, signs of just like architecture and just different settings than where I currently am in my work. And hoping that all of that kind of triggers the same feelings in the people who will, you know, look at it, have it in their homes and things like that.
I know you mentioned plants. I have turned into a plant mama during this time. So I have about maybe 10 plants right now. How many do you have?
Ooh, I've lost count. Probably more than 40.
My gosh.
Yeah,
That's
so
gold, seriously, for me.
yeah, so they're alive for now.
I'm like, how are you keeping them alive? I'm still trying to figure out the
I
watering
cheat.
cycle.
Yeah, de no, I definitely cheat. I've figured out which plants are like less, not as high maintenance, and it's usually like the leafy green ones. So I really don't do much like flowers and herbs because I'm no good at flowers or even succulents. I know people say that succulents are like so easy, but I've always like oversaturated them and killed them.
Me too. So it's not just me. I feel better about that because I cannot keep a succulent alive.
No, not at all.
Tell us a little bit about your journey. I know you began as a high school teacher.
Yes. So I've always been kind of like navigating and just picking things that make me feel good. So I was a substitute teacher for 3 years prior to becoming a full-time teacher. And I always loved it. You know, it was like one of my favorite jobs. The only one where you don't feel like your boss is hovering or like you're on like every day is the same and repetitive. It was kind of like a lot of fun for me. So teaching began as like a temporary thing. I was covering for the art teacher that decided not to come back last minute. And I just found that, you know, I loved it. And so as I got comfortable teaching art and just kind of like creating with those eyes on me, it also allowed me to get comfortable in my day-to-day life with like freelancing and stuff like that. And I was finding time to balance the two, you know, doing logos in between and just things like that, that kind of like got my mind going and seeing how I could make it a bigger thing or a full-time thing eventually.
And tell me about the day when you decided, teaching's no longer working for me. I want to go full time with freelancing.
Yeah, well, I had a goal when I was younger to just kind of like be working for myself by 24. And I had gotten so comfortable and had so much fun teaching that I stopped thinking about that. And I remember our school grade had gone down, so everyone was a lot more tense, you know, administration, and there was a lot more emphasis on just like testing and things like that. So it's kind of like, you know, they say that God will make you uncomfortable when it's time for you to grow or time for you to change. And I just started to feel very uncomfortable. I was complaining a lot more than I used to. And I just started paying attention to those feelings. Eventually, I found out that there was a problem with my certification, and I had a lot less time to move up to the next level than I had thought. And because of that, it was going to cost me a lot of money to complete the classes I needed to move up a level certification wise. So I took that as like a sign that maybe it was not meant for me to come back. And from there, I feel like I got all of the signs and the intuition and the affirmations that that was actually what was happening.
And was that transition smooth when you decided to start with freelance with art? How did that work?
I would say it was pretty smooth in some ways. I wasn't in a rush to be 100% full time. So when I decided to resign, the ultimate goal was 100% freelance eventually. But I still, I looked for a job. I took a role as a creative director to kind of still give myself more time to save money and figure things out. And it just kind of happened where the job that I took also became a mess. And I decided to just bet on myself, that maybe God was saying like, don't take it slow, or the universe was like, don't take it slow, like it's time, just do it. And yeah, from there it was smooth in the sense that like I was prepared to teach myself or pivot or do whatever I needed to do to be successful. But there were definitely moments where like I would take an extra part-time job or just find little gigs and stuff to make sure that I could sustain myself during the transition.
I love that you mentioned that because I think that sometimes people think that they have to do whatever that role or whatever that job is completely and not have those extra avenues to kind of support themselves. But it's like you can work on your craft and work on your passion as well as have other side hustles and other jobs to kind of financially support you while you're fulfilling those passions.
Exactly. And I mean, you cannot work at your best level if you're stressed out, if you're worried, if you're anxious. Like, you have to figure out what is the sweet spot for you to kind of like start and get some experience working at that thing that you want to do, but also not trying to prove something, to somebody else, because ultimately that's sometimes why people care. Like, you want to prove that you could do it. And you can, but maybe not today, maybe not this week. Like, you're always going to be setting yourself up for that goal. You just have to give yourself some time and some grace.
Has it been hard for you to create right now with everything that's going on?
It's gotten easier. The beginning of quarantine, it was very hard, mostly because like I wanted to rest and kind of process everything. And I didn't really have that chance. Like, I had a lot of projects that were already going that people didn't cancel. And so I was kind of like in shock and dealing with the shock of everything and just like like we had to process the whole thing. But at the same time, I had to be like just as productive and just as on as I always am.
What fueled your creativity during that time when it's like, I want to rest, but I can't really rest. I have to keep going and processing everything. What kept you going?
I think it wouldn't even be creativity at that time. It would be more so routine. Like I don't remember how the quote goes ultimately, but it's something about like writer's block, and it's like writer's block, it really doesn't exist. You need to like sit down at your desk and write. And I, by turning, my hobby into a career, there were certain things that I had to learn, when it comes to like discipline and schedules and stuff like that. So having experience doing things in that way and not just like when I feel like waking up and working, I work. It helped me to be able to still get things done. But it wasn't easy and it didn't always feel as good and as fulfilling that I'm used to it feeling.
And one thing about your work is that I just feel like you have this signature look. Like, even if your name is not on the print, I can recognize it immediately. So it's like I've seen your book, I've seen your, I believe the wrapping paper or the scarf with Unwrap. How did you develop such just clear, concise branding and look to your art and being able to kind of transfer it to other mediums as well?
Yeah, that in particular took me a lot of time. I remember as a young artist, like always wondering when it would happen for me and how people figure out their style. And I just tried a lot of things, and nothing really stuck until I started to focus instead on just who I was and what message I wanted to convey and things like that. Like, it really just came from getting to know me.
And I feel like a lot of artists struggle with switching over and using social media to grow their business. How has social media helped you? And did you have like a certain plan when you started using social media with growing your business? How have you incorporated it into your marketing?
I didn't. I think that because of my personality, I tend to stay away from things that I I don't understand, or like thinking about it doesn't bring me joy. So social media was always something that like I used, and you know that using it can help your business. So I didn't have a plan, and I didn't, stay up late researching and taking social media classes. I just kind of like kept trying new things and kept trying to get to the root of what social media is for. And at the core of it, it's supposed to be about connecting people and engagement. So over time, I just kind of kept creating things that I felt people could engage with, and hoping to start conversations, and build a community before everything, and then that ultimately became the people who supported my work and resonated with my work, because in staying true to who I was and the messages I wanted to share, I found people that were passionate about the same things. And just like not rushing myself, because definitely like even in this style that I'm doing now, when I started posting it, you start at 80 likes, 100, and it took forever. Like it took forever to creep up. I didn't think that it would ever get to 1,000 likes or thousands of likes or 10,000 likes. It's just kind of like something that I continued sharing because at the core of it, it's what I wanted to share, and it was the message that I wanted to convey and leave behind, and all of those things.
And your work is so beautiful and inspiring. I'm wondering, what don't we see behind the hustle?
What don't you see? You don't see just the this, like it's kind of like a always like a balancing wheel, like you create these things because you want to be successful and you want more people to invest in your work. And then the toll that that takes on you once it takes you away from actually creating work for yourself. So I think that that's my current struggle now, is kind of getting back to the love of it and like just the enjoyment of it as I just try to navigate all of these timelines and things like that.
What do you want us to know about the woman behind the hustle?
Probably that my work is me in a lot of ways. I think I've put so much of myself in it that the same what you see in my characters and my illustrations, the love for earrings and fashion and color, like that, it's all me.
And what's next for you?
A lot. I think that I really want to, like I said, spend some time again just getting to know me and what I do it for, so that I can kind of like branch out again in ways that make sense to who I am and who I'm growing to be. All of those things that, like you mentioned, the unwrapped scarf and stuff like that. I spent a lot of time during that period in my life just kind of like sitting and imagining, like, where do I want to see my art? Like, where do Black women deserve to have more representation? And some things, I got to do, and some things I still haven't yet. I still want to see more greeting cards and just like little things like that that I would want to spend some time doing.
Yeah, I would love to see your art on a greeting card. That would be amazing. So, yeah, that I would love. So, this part of the show we call The Real Deal Behind the Hustle, where we take a deeper look at who the woman is behind the hustle. What time do you wake up daily?
I tr well, my alarm goes off at 6.
What time did we get out
Yeah,
the bed, mate?
these past few days, I just got out of like a crazy deadline situation, and I have just been allowing myself sleep. So lately, I've been getting up probably like closer to 9.
And what's a quote, verse, or mantra that keeps you encouraged?
I would think, okay, I have some reminders. Let me look at them. I keep reminders on my phone because, sometimes you need it.
Well, that's a good idea. So they can just populate whenever you kind of need that encouragement.
Yes. I always try to tell myself first, that I deserve good things and I deserve everything that's coming to me. I also like to remind myself that I like there's no the illusion of control. I try to relinquish that. So let go, as simple as it is something that I'll repeat to myself, or just to program my mind that way. And just like you feel better when you act from love and not fear, and always choosing love over fear, whether it's my love, for my work, My love for community, like whatever the case may be, letting love be the driving force.
What's a tool or an app that helps you manage your life or work that you couldn't live without?
As simple as it is, my notes app.
And what song do you listen to kick off your day?
I usually put on like calming meditation music to start my day just to make sure that I'm like in control of the energy moving forward. I try not to, do too much like news or like upbeat music, just kind of like slowly moving into the day.
What book should every girl behind the hustle read?
Well, In Bloom, of course.
Of course.
Of course. And I'm trying to remember because I'm terrible when it comes to like self-help books. And I know there's some that I love, like I read You Are a Badass. I gotta go look at my bookshelf, but maybe I'll get back to you. I'll send you some titles to
Oh,
include.
yeah,
Yeah,
please.
but yeah, because I always like when I read a self-help book and like it encourages me, I put it down and I just start working. I'm just like, I'll read the first couple pages and it's like, have a plan. And I'm like, oh, okay, I need a plan. And then,
Let me get to
yeah,
work. Yep.
and then I don't finish
It's
the book.
like I read all that I needed to read. I got it. I'm on top of
I've read that
it.
that's like a Sagittarius trait, like telling someone all about a book that they only read the back cover for. And I think that's totally me. Like once I get the gist of what it's about or what it's for, I'm like, okay, got it.
I got enough. What does true self-care look like for you?
Well, checking myself, I think that that's the hard part. Of course, like we do face masks, we do meditation, we do that side of self-care, but also just like journaling and processing negative emotions and fears and things that could hold me back. That's my most vital aspect of self-care.
And fill in the blank. My name is, and one truth about the hustle is.
My name is Reina, and one truth of the hustle is that it takes time.
Thank you so much, Raina, for sharing your story with us. Please let our listeners know how they can connect with you.
Absolutely. You can find me on Instagram. My at name is Reina Noriega underscore. There you can also find my website, reinanoriega.com, or my shop, reinanoriega.com/shop, where you can shop prints and earrings and all types of stuff.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
Thank
Thanks so much for listening today. I hope you enjoyed hearing our guest story. If there's something that you connected with or had one of those aha moments, do me a favor, go on Apple, rate and review the podcast, and share it with someone else. You know already who needs to hear this story today. Share it with them. Until we meet again, hustle and grace.